If you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 13 to verse 16. Paul says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one." Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we do pray that you would use your word tonight to make us good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Father, we realize that we're in a war with an enemy that is much more powerful than we are and wiser than we are. But Father, we want to go into this war with your armor on, using your weapons. And Father, we want to glorify you as we defeat the enemy. Father, we do thank you that you've given us instructions how to fight this war. Give us a heart to obey your word and count the victory as triumph in Jesus Christ. Father, we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. These passages that we just read are just simply instructions from the Apostle Paul on how to fight spiritual warfare. In other words, how to dress for spiritual warfare. And if you notice the things that he gives us, it's all spiritual attire. In other words, how to put on the whole armor of God. And the reason it is because when you stand against the enemy that we face, carnal and fleshly and humanistic weapons are useless against the powers of darkness and against the prince of darkness, Satan. As we wrestle against these principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against this spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to put on every piece of the armor that he gives us to put on. And the reason why is that we can be equipped to be able to stand against the evil one and to withstand in the evil day. Now, we must avail ourselves of the full equipment which God has in his infinite grace provided for us through our Lord Jesus Christ and his great and glorious salvation. And all who are truly in Christ Jesus are in this war against the powers of darkness. And in reality, Satan also is the enemy of unbelievers, but they're just blind to it. And they don't realize that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but that Christ has come that they might have abundant life. So you say, I'm in this war with Satan. Then you would ask me the question, when did I get into this war? The day that God regenerated your soul. You were inducted into the army of God. And I tell you, brethren, tonight, this war goes on until the end of our lifetime. And this war that we fight with the devil can only be fought by spiritual people. When I say spiritual people, I'm talking about somebody that's been born again by the Spirit of God. He's the one that's equipped to fight this war, and God tells us how to do it in his word. So basically speaking, tonight in this war, we have all kind of weapons. We have offensive weapons. We have defensive weapons that have been given to us by God. And these weapons that he's given to us, we need them to win this battle, and we need all the weapons that he's given to us, because Satan will attack us from everything, from heresy to error. He will attack us with the integrity of God, questioning the integrity of the word of God, questioning God's love for us. He will attack us with deceit, hypocrisy, hate, unforgiveness, bitterness, doubt, and even self-pity. The devil doesn't care how he attacks us. He just wants to attack us and to overthrow our faith. But all the lusts of the flesh that rage in us, he will try to attack us with these lusts. But we must overcome in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might, using the exact weapons that he's given us, because the weapons that we have are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and fighting the one who is the enemy of our souls. And if we fight the war, this war the way the Lord tells us to fight this war and use the weapons that he supplied for us to fight in this war, then we'll victoriously endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we fight the way he tells us to fight, we'll be able to stand against all these ambushes and all these traps of Satan, and we'll be able to be led into triumph in Christ Jesus. So last time we began to dress for warfare, and we looked at Ephesians 6:14, where Paul says, "Stand therefore," he said, "having girded your waist with truth." Now, the Roman soldier, when he girded his waist that we looked at last time, he was preparing himself to go to the field to fight. And the very first thing he had to do was to gird up his waist or his loins, as some translations would say, gird up your loins. And what he was doing is he was fastening around his waist a military belt. Now, with this belt, he binds in his outer garments. So we told you that that would not be nothing loose hanging off of him and restricting him as he went into battle. There could be no part of his armor or clothing that would restrict or hinder him as he came against the enemy and when he was involved in action. His limbs had to be free for action. And this was because he needed to be mobile. He needed to move fast. And this was for his safety, and not only for his safety, but for the safety of all his fellow soldiers. So this girdle or this belt of truth speaks to us of a soldier who has girded up his loins and he's ready for action. And this would be the picture basically of a warrior. If you've seen any war movies, he's tense and firm. He's ready to go. He's prepared to fight. He's resolved in his conviction. His mind is made up. He's prepared to meet the enemy. He's on what you would call high alert. When you gird your loins with truth, you're ready to defend the camp of your heart and the camp of your soul. You're ready from whichever angle Satan might come. You can read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, we read that Elijah the prophet girded up his loins and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot. Now, what Elijah did is he tucked in the skirts of his robe in his belt in preparation to be able to run without hindrance so he could run fast and outrun that chariot. And we as believers, what we need to do is to have our waist or our loins girded with the belt of truth in order to be ready and fully engaged in spiritual warfare with the enemies of darkness. And when we do that, we will be able to stand against Satan without hindrance or without restriction. Now, we told you last time that there are various opinions of what Paul means by truth. I believe he's speaking here of objective truth. I think he's talking about the whole body of truth. He's saying, gird up your loins with the word of God, with the scriptures as a whole. Gird up your loins with the faith which was once passed down or once delivered to the saints. And whatever this truth is, it has to be something outside of ourselves. It has to be a spiritual weapon that is given to us by God. It's something that's put on outside of ourselves. So it's part of the whole armor of God. And you basically saying, he said, gird yourself with the divine saving truth of God. Now, a lot of some theologians will say, well, he's speaking of subjective truth and just talking about the mere moral qualities in us. We cannot stand against the powers of darkness in our own strength. And that's why God gives us this armor. It's the whole armor of God that he says put on. And so we need these weapons and protection because God gave them to us to be able to stand and to resist and to conquer in this war that rages a lot in our lives. And so it can only be fought and won in God's strength. Now, when Paul wrote this, there were probably a lot of new believers in Ephesus. And Ephesians 4 speaks of being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So they were probably children in the faith. They were half enlightened on some things, but they were Christians. But they need to be mature in the faith. And they had heard the truth as it is in Jesus, but they probably didn't have a full comprehension they just probably had a little comprehension of the meaning of what that was. And that's the same with any new believer. Anybody that's new in the faith, they know the truth as it is in Jesus, but they don't know the total truth as it is in Jesus. So as you gird up your loins with truth, it involves a lot of doctrine, a lot of teaching, as we were taught this morning, throughout the Word of God. And as you learn, and as you learn more and more truth, as you learn more and more doctrine, you're girding up your loins, ready to fight the enemy. Because he's going to try to come in and overthrow your faith, and he comes a lot, especially at new believers. So his desire in this letter, and in all his other letters to the churches, he wants to add to their faith, he wants to add knowledge. The prophet Hosea said, in Hosea 4:6, he says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." So knowledge is not a bad thing. I know you can read in the Word of God and says, knowledge puffeth up, but knowledge will also deliver. So, you know, you have to balance that out in your life as a Christian. But what we're talking about now in spiritual warfare, you can be delivered by knowledge of the Word of God as you gird up your loins with the truth of the Word of God. Now, he's also speaking of the truth objectively. He's talking about the full revelation of God and of salvation that's given to us in the Holy Scriptures, because only that truth will save the souls of sinners. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So he's just telling you to protect your soul with the truth that's given to us in God and his word. So he basically wants the brethren here at Ephesus to get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Gird up your waist with truth and in the things that are specifically revealed to us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, the second thing he says here tonight, and we'll look at this tonight, it's about as far as we'll get, is he said, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is another piece of defensive armor. And you notice he says here, having put on. That this is something that we must do before we engage in spiritual warfare. This is a past tense verb. And so this is something that should have been done before you have engaged in warfare with the enemies of your soul. Now, this is not something that we just do once. Strong armies train year round. And the reason why armies have to train year round is to be ready for all the subtle attacks and surprise attacks of the enemy. And to be prepared does not mean that, now when I say that you need to be prepared, it doesn't mean that you're engaged in warfare all the time. But you need to be on the alert and ready to defend any time that the enemy would try to come in and come in like a flood. And so in times of peace, you need to be on the alert. You need to be ready to defend. You know, the armies of this nation, we're in some wars, but we're not in a specific big war right now. But they're still training, staying on the alert in case the enemy wants to come to attack. So it's basically the same thing in spiritual warfare. And so this breastplate that the apostle has in mind is one that was specifically worn by these Roman soldiers. And it generally extended from the base of his neck all the way down to his thighs, or the upper part of the soldier's thighs. And it covered between the neck and the abdomen. It was this area right here. And this is what they call the abdominal cavity. And this cavity right here covers the most essential part of a person's body. This is the area, and Pastor Jim talked about somebody this morning, but it was on animals. This is where the chief organs of the body are located. And this breastplate covered the ribs, it covered the breastbone, it covered the stomach, it covered the liver, it covered the pancreas, the intestines, the kidneys, the bladder, and the lungs. And first and foremost, it covered his heart. So what are you saying? You get hit here, you're dead, basically. Now, I'm saying you could die every time. But that was one of the most important parts that needed to be covered, you know, in case he got hit with an arrow or something like that they were shooting. So you will find as you read the Word of God, the writers of the Word of God often refer to these various organs of the abdomen as they believe that they were a specific cause of trouble in these different organs. And they looked at them as, when a person had a problem, that they looked at these organs was part of the problem, but they're looking at it in a spiritual way. And so they were thinking that these organs were the seat of one's affections. And so they attached all this significance to the different organs of the different body, parts of the body. I'm going to give you two scriptures to tell you what I'm talking about here. Psalm 7:9. The psalmist says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just." And then he says, "For the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds." Or one translation would say, "Test the hearts and the reins." Now, when the psalmist says that, he's not saying that God is going to give you a stress test on a treadmill. You know, he's not going to give you a mental evaluation or an IQ test. This word minds can be translated as reins, like I said, and a lot of times that speaks literally of the kidneys. And so when they spoke of the reins, they basically spoke of the most secret part of a person. And the heart, depending on the context in which it's used, because it's used in many different contexts in the Word of God, the heart spoke of the seat of the feelings, the impulses, the affections, the desires, and the conscience. So it's basically speak of the inner part of the man. So you have to realize that all these parts that Paul is talking about here, Satan has access to us, speaking of these parts in a spiritual sense. And so the conscience is simply that inner part of the man. And so what he's saying here is God's simply going to examine the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And he's going to search the secret part of the man. You know, he's not literally going to give you a stress test. He's not literally working with your literal heart. He's talking about the spiritual aspect of a man. Philippians 2:1. Pastor Derek will probably deal with this. He said, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy," then he says, "fulfill my joy." Now, the King James would say, "if any bowels and mercy." So your bowels are your chief intestines, the entrails of the body. So they speak, basically, when they say the bowels of mercy, they're speaking of the affections of the heart. In fact, you could say they're speaking of the tender affections of the heart. I remember back when I played high school football, they used these terms that they would always tell us when we didn't want to do something that was absolutely crazy. "You have no guts." I had intestines. I did have guts. But one thing they forgot I had was brain. And that's not to do what they said to me to do. That's why I didn't have no guts, you know. So, but that's what they meant. And they got politically correct about it. And so they said, "intestinal fortitude." You don't have that. I said, "whatever you say, I ain't got it. I don't have none of it. So I'm not going to do what you want us to do right here." But what I'm saying is they use it kind of in the same kind of way that they're using here. So they believed and deduced that the cause of a particular trouble was in a specific local organ of the body. And back in that day, that's just simply how they viewed it. Now, what can we deduce from all this? Well, the apostle tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, because no part is more important and we should be very careful to protect it. You say, why? Because that's where the feelings and the affections are controlled, and not only them, but the conscience, the desires, and the will. And you think about the Apostle Paul, he was a very wise man, and in his wisdom, he knew that our affections and feelings played a major role in our lives. And the thing about it is, Satan also knows this, and he will attempt to play on our feelings and emotions and affections for his own wicked ends and purposes. A lot of people get in church problems because of this right here. They allow the devil to play on their emotions and their affections, and church splits and all kind of stuff happens because they did not put on the breastplate of righteousness. They did not deter the devil from dealing with these parts of their lives. So the breastplate of righteousness as part of the whole armor of God is vital to protecting our emotions, our affections, our desires, our will, our conscience, and especially our hearts. And without getting too in-depth, Satan will launch attacks on these parts of our human nature and constitution a lot. For example, the conscience. Regardless who you are, you have to live with your conscience. And the conscience is always talking. And what it does is either accusing or it's either excusing. And you cannot get a clear conscience as a Christian until you get it clean by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason why I say that is because some people say, "Well, I feel condemned all the time." Well, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And what I'm saying there is the way we get a clear conscience is we take our sin before Christ and get it cleared and get the whole situation cleared up. Now, some people are condemned all the time because they sin all the time. Quit sinning, you won't be condemned so much, because the conscience is going to tell you that is sin. And it'll keep telling you that until you, unless you got a serious conscience, it'll tell you that until you deal with it. And so sinners don't have, can't get a clear conscience like a Christian can, because they have nobody to run to get forgiven for their sins. But we have Christ, as we've told this morning. So the blessed rate of righteousness is key to covering our sins and things like that. And Satan wants to launch attacks on these parts of our human nature and constitution a lot. And like I said, he loves to attack us specifically in our emotions, in the conscience. He likes to bring condemnation. He likes to bring guilt, doubt, unbelief. He likes to bring up your past sins. He likes to bring bad thoughts to you. He uses anything he can to get you to get in the dumps and to be a loser today. I've had some bad, bad battles with the devil about my past life. And so I have to go back to where I've been taught and remind him they're covered by the blood of Christ. That's real simple, you know, but it's not simple when you're going through this. You know what I mean? But you have to. It's just simple ABC theology. And, you know, you can have some bad struggles about that. And if you don't put on the breastplate of righteousness, he will confuse your conscience. And what he will do is he will rob you of your joy. He will cause you to live this unfulfilled, miserable Christian life, full of uncertainty about your salvation and full of uncertainty about what we taught this morning, the electing love of God. And believe it or not, Satan holds many believers captive in this area because they do not think it's important to continually put on the whole armor of God, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the bottom line for the good soldier of Jesus Christ is he must have on the breastplate because it covers his vital organs, especially the heart. Now, you think about it. If a soldier got wounded in his leg or his arm, most likely it would not be fatal. But like I said, starting out, the only other part that would be comparable to these vital parts would be the head, but you've got the helmet to cover it. So Paul is saying to every believer alive on this earth, put on the breastplate of righteousness because it covers the most important part of you. Now, this breastplate that we are to put on, Paul calls it righteousness. Now, the question comes up is, what is this righteousness that we are to put on? Because Paul tells us to put it on. I'm going to get on the theologians again, because what they would say, a lot of them would say that this righteousness is the moral righteousness of the Christian. And they would say that they would see it as in the subjective sense and say that it's the righteousness of practically living righteous, you know, talking about your own personal merits as a righteous person. That's what you have to fight the devil with. Think about it for a minute. Could our righteousness stand against Satan? It's just a simple answer to this question, because it's always imperfect as we live in this world, and Satan could easily penetrate that shield. I promise you tonight, our righteousness is no protection at all, because our righteousness cannot resist the accusations of your conscience. You know, when you lose hope and discouragement and you have the severity of the law and everything clamping down on you, you have to run to what we've been taught over and over again. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Pastor Jim read us, you know, Romans 8. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then you go over to Romans 8, 31 to 38. I'm not going to read it tonight. That's the breastplate of righteousness. That's what Paul says, put on. Some of the theologians would claim that this breastplate of righteousness means integrity. It speaks of our moral rectitude. In other words, we must be good and righteous. We must be just and honest people and not guilty of hypocrisy for us ever to hope to do battle with the devil and to stand against Satan and the powers of darkness in battle. Listen, integrity is vital in every part of our life, but it's of little value when it comes to fighting the enemy of our souls. You know, some of the greatest saints that have lived on this earth and existed down through history, the more saintly they were, the closer they were to God, the less confidence they had in their own integrity. Y'all with me? Because your integrity, brethren, it's got flaws in it. And Satan would point out those flaws if you came to fight him with your integrity anyway. But, you know, they had a bad taste for their goodness and integrity because they knew their own heart. And the saints of the past, just like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:4, they had no confidence in the flesh. So, well, what should I have confidence in? The whole armor of God. The breastplate of righteousness. So, for us to overcome the wiles and the deceit and the subtlety of our enemy, we need to have on an armor that's provided by our Lord Jesus Christ, or the armor of God. Now, I will give you a scripture to show you the difference in this, because there's another scripture that speaks of the breastplate in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. You can write that down or you can look at it. The Apostle Paul says, but let those who are of the day be sober. Talking about, he's basically, the context is talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, in this context, he's not speaking of the armor of God that is needed for us to fight these satanic attacks. He's telling these Thessalonians to stay awake. They need to be sober. He's that they need to watch so that the day of the Lord will not overtake them as a thief in the night. Faith, love, and hope of salvation are Christian graces. They're not the armor of God. You can say, he's telling them here, you need to put on the breastplate of Christian graces of faith, love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. He said, as you await the day of the Lord, that's what you are to put on. But that's not the same as the whole armor of God. The things that he's talking about here are used in a subjective sense. But the things that we're talking about when we're talking about the armor of God are things that God gives us to fight with. Once God changes us, we have all these things. And he tells them to wait, living these things out in their lives. But when you're fighting against the devil, you have to use the armor that God's given you to fight with. And just like when Jesus met the devil in the garden and he says, but it is written. A lot of people say, but, you know, you said it's the whole word of God. You know, we can't use the Old Testament to fight the devil. He used all Old Testament scriptures to fight the devil when he was in the garden. It is written. That's what he used. So what is this righteousness of God? I think it's Philippians 3:8-9. I told Derek I wouldn't say much about this because I know he's going to preach on this. So I just say, Paul speaks of the righteousness that God has provided as for us to put on his armor, because he says this in verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, or by my own works, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. What is this righteousness? It's what Paul says here. He says the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's what I think the breastplate of righteousness is. Because this is the righteousness that he's urging the Ephesians to put on for supreme protection. And the reason why I believe this is because this is an infinitely perfect righteousness that consists in the obedience of the suffering of the Son of God, and it's the only righteousness that can satisfy the demands of justice and the demands of divine law, and it's the only righteousness that can satisfy, justify a sinner. So God's righteousness is a sure defense against the devil's attack. And so Paul is saying, put on the breastplate of righteousness which God has given to us, and which God has given to us, which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Let that protect the most important part of you. Let that righteousness protect your heart, your mind, your soul. Let it protect those areas where your thoughts, your emotions, your affections, your desire, your will, your conscience, where all that is controlled and operate. Put that shield over the most important part of your body. If you fight, and if I fight in my integrity, I am fighting a losing battle. Because what you do in your own integrity, you spin in your wheels. Because you might have been good today, but you was bad yesterday. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you might have had a bad day. And then so, you know, we don't have that constant, perfect, without blemish righteousness that Jesus had. And so we have nothing to fight with, because the devil can make accusations all day long. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he could always accuse us of something. But let me tell you this. He can accuse Jesus of nothing. There's nothing he can accuse him of. And he was without sin. And as Pastor Jim taught us, that's the righteousness that's been imputed unto us. And that's the righteousness I want to take in the battle with me. I don't want to take my righteousness in. It wouldn't last long anyway. But Jesus would last through the battle. The Apostle Paul, as a Pharisee, was completely defeated by Satan. You can read that in Philippians 2, 8 to 9. Because as a Pharisee, he had on the breastplate of his own integrity and his own righteousness. And he was hopelessly defeated. And he tells us at the end of it, it was all loss. It was all rubbish. It had nothing good in it at the end. What Paul needed was an imputed righteousness. He needed the righteousness of God that only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And that only is the breastplate that will protect us against the onslaughts of the powers of darkness. You would think that the breastplate of righteousness would be more complicated, but it's not. You know why it's not complicated? We've been taught it over and over and over again. So you say, what is this breastplate? It's got to be some big time theological thing. It is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Because when he accuses you, that's all you've got to do to stand, to protect your heart and things like that. If I didn't have that, I don't know what I would have done to some battles. Because the devil would have had me believe, you know, a lot of times you'll say, well, you know, you sinned yesterday, so you're going to hell for that sin. And so you have the word of God to fall back on. You have this breastplate of righteousness. And that's why it's important that you learn and you know the truth about the word of God. Now, just for application tonight, so you won't get confused, all Christians are righteous people. At salvation, you become righteous. The Puritans would call the righteousness that we get at salvation an imparted righteousness. So they would say that at salvation, we get an infused righteousness. So when a person is born again by the Spirit of God, God gives them new life. And there's a new seed that is planted in you. Now, 2 Peter 1:4 says, Peter says that we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, and they have been given to us that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption and depravity that is in the world through lust. So at the new birth, a new seed of life is imparted unto us. It's infused in us. The word of God actually says that we partake of the divine nature, and God imparts the righteousness of his son unto us and makes it a part of us. Now, that seed that he puts in us grows and develops. And so we grow into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, we become more and more righteous as he is righteous because of that seed that was planted. So you can biblically say that Christians are righteous men and women. Christians are saints. You know, they've been delivered. They're saints. 1 John 3:7, he says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. The problem comes in when we're fighting this war is that we're not perfect and we have remaining sin and we're weak and we're in constant need of the enabling grace of God. Long as you live on this earth, I can promise you these things. You're going to get discouraged. you're going to get depressed. You're going to get downcast. You're going to go through great times of trial and tribulation, the different times in your life. There are times there's going to be great agony, and there are times when the enemy will come in like a flood and play on your feelings and your emotion. And that's when, now listen to what I say, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, you and I will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and withstand in the evil day. You put it on by faith. And the way you put it on by faith is trusting and believing in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness that is of God by faith is the soul's main defense against the shafts, one man says, of Satan. And it wards off all his deadly blows from this side and that side, wherever and however they come. The hymn writer says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so it's absolutely impossible to penetrate the righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ. One man says this, he says that the breastplate of righteousness will provide for us a clear conscience before a most holy God and overthrow the accusations of the enemy of our souls. So that breastplate of righteousness to me is simply the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your imparted righteousness, the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you fight the enemy of your soul. Because he is going to accuse us of everything, and he will. I mean, it's amazing about the enemy, because he goes back into the annals of time. He reminds me of stuff that I had forgot that happened in my life. And I went, where'd that come from? Oh, these thoughts come, you know, like evil thoughts just come. And I'm going, that's not me, because I wasn't thinking that. I was too tired to think it anyway, but it didn't come from nowhere. And that's the devil. If you're unconverted tonight, if you're going to stand before a most holy God on the great day of judgment, you need to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The apostle says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. In other words, faithfully keeping the law of God, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The average unbeliever think they're good enough and moral enough to be accepted into heaven. That is a soul-damning deception. You're not good enough to get into heaven. I know we've been taught that over and over again, but brethren, our righteousness will take us straight to hell. No, you need to humble yourself before God. You need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will truly be saved. And to the brethren, before we leave tonight, when we totally rely upon the Son of God and his perfect work on our behalf, it's very simple. We have on the breastplate of righteousness, because that is what was provided for us by God. And the more rooted and grounded that we are in these glorious truths and of justification by faith, imputation of the righteousness of Christ, and on and on and on, the more rooted and grounded we are in these things, the better able we are to fight the devil. And it's not in your own strength. It's in the strength of God. And that's the armor God gave us to fight with. And, you know, all the time, this Pastor Jim and Derek and Charlie and all the Pastor Charlie and all the guys have spent teaching justification by faith and all these things to make us strong. You need to continually put it on, because the devil will not leave you alone. And you have to cover the most important part, which basically is your heart, and keep it covered with the breastplate of righteousness that has been given to us through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight that Christ has conquered the enemy on our behalf when he went to the cross at Calvary's Hill. And Father, we ask you to forgive us for not relying upon that perfect righteousness of your Son. Father, help us to remember when we get down and depressed and when we are downcast in our hearts and things, that we have the breastplate of righteousness that we can put on, and that's the imputed righteousness of your Son. Father, we thank you that you've had such mercy upon us, and Lord, we thank you that you have limited what the enemy can do to us, and that you watch over us as we fight this battle. But we do pray that you will give us grace and strength to put on your whole armor and stand against the wiles of the enemy. Father, we thank you that the church will be triumphant at the end of this world, and she's triumphant now because of Christ and his work. And Father, we pray that we will continue to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and continue to fight the good fight of faith. Father, we do thank and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.